Well, first, I'd like to say this past week was a very special week for Holy Trinity because not only was it our second anniversary as a parish, but we had our vacation Bible school this week. I want to thank Mrs. Leary and all of our 15 teachers and our 30 volunteers, the teenagers who did such an outstanding job, and to congratulate our 134 kids who went to vacation Bible school, ages 4 to 11. 134 kids. I think they all enjoyed it and learned a great deal about the Lord and the church and the scriptures. So if you didn't enroll your kids this year, make a note for next year to join us for vacation Bible school. Very grateful to Manassas Presbyterian for being so gracious, allowing us to use their wonderful facilities. Also, want to just give you a brief update about our building and architecture committee meetings. We meet every 2 weeks with our architect. We have truly an outstanding, very talented architect who's also a devout Catholic named Jim O'Brien from O'Brien and Keene. And we're in the design development phase. We've been meeting now for the past 4 or 5 months, twice a month, and we presented our plans to the diocese in June. We go back August 20th to resubmit the plans, and if we get a final approval, then we'll have these pictures and drawings available for all of you to see, hopefully in a few weeks. So I'm really looking forward to showing you the drawings of the church. It's just absolutely beautiful. You'll love it. The whole site is, we have to obviously grade the entire site, and the first phase is the parking and the 1,000-seat church connected to a parish hall that will seat about 750 in rows and about 500 at table. Should be wonderful for our activities and dances. And then the parish administration offices and a whole bunch of classrooms, about 6 classrooms and many more meeting rooms. And so the estimated cost is around $11 to $12 million for this first phase, which is about what we had projected. And so we're doing very well with the $5 million in pledges, but of course that comes in over 5 years. So the key, of course, is getting the cash into the account to get to sort of our goal of $3 million in cash to be able to get a loan from the diocese. The loan is probably going to be for about $9 million. So we need to have, our goal is to have at least $3 million to be able to qualify for the loan. We're at $1.2 million now, and so we're doing very well. And if the funding keeps coming in for your contributions and pledges, hopefully we'll reach this mark of $3 million about this time next year, God willing, break ground about this time next year or the fall, depending on how the donations come in. So again, thank you so much for your donations. Please continue to contribute to the pledges that you made. And if you have not yet made a pledge, please do so and help us to build the new church and to be a founding family of the parish. Now, last week and for the next 3 weeks, we're going through John chapter 6. It's such an important chapter in the Bible. It's even on my license plate. Remember I told you last year, if you're ever driving down 66 and you see John chapter 6, you'll know it's my car, right? JNCH6. There's been a lot of confusion about that. Somebody said, Father, what do you mean join channel 6? What are you supposed to join channel 6? So it's John chapter 6. I encourage you to read it, because this one chapter has brought many people into the faith. Not too long ago in Virginia Beach, there was a group of 20 Bible students. They were studying scripture from a different religion, different denomination. They were studying the Gospel of John. When they got to John chapter 6 and began reading about Jesus saying that he is the bread of life, and to begin to really delve into the history and the theology of this chapter, they soon found their way into the Catholic Church. All 20, the entire Bible study, converted to the Catholic faith within a year after reading John chapter 6. Very, very powerful. And then the Lord gives a great discourse in this chapter. So actually the chapter starts out with 2 miracles, the miracles of the loaves and fish, because Jesus is proving to the apostles that he has power over bread, by multiplying the loaves and fish. And then he proves he has power over his body by walking on the water. And then, after setting the stage of using a miracle to show he has power over bread, a miracle by walking on the water, show his power over his body, then he gives his long teaching about that the fact that he is the bread of life come down from heaven, and that we must eat his body and drink his blood. What a beautiful passage it is. And today the Lord refers to the Old Testament. And now he draws a parallel. The Old Testament, the people for 40 years were journeying to the promised land. And God provided for them by giving them manna to eat. It sustained them. It gave them nourishment and strength to keep going on their journey to the promised land. Well, the Lord says that I am the bread of life, that he comes down from heaven, and that he is the food for our souls to give us nourishment on our way to the promised land of heaven. So Jesus is the food for our spiritual journey. I'm sure some of you are big fans of Tolkien, right? J.R.R. Tolkien, one of the great Catholic authors of the century. Growing up, I read all his books, The Hobbit and The Fellowship of the Ring and The Two Towers and The Return of the King. Out of curiosity, any other Tolkien fans out there, raise your hand if you've read the books. Who's seen the movies, right? Okay, some of you. I saw the first movie 8 times, okay? The Fellowship of the Ring. I saw the second movie 8 times, which was The Two Towers. And I'm sure I'm going to see the new movie 8 times when it comes out on December 17th. I'll be first in line. My dad's driving all the way down from Philadelphia. We go to see it in the afternoon, we go out for dinner, and we see it again that night. It's only 3 hours long, so that's 6 hours worth of The Lord of the Rings. The reason why I'm such a big fan is because there's so much Christianity, so much Catholic teaching in Tolkien. He himself was a devout Catholic. I've read other things he's written about the Eucharist and the Blessed Sacrament being the greatest gift that God has given to this world. And what he does in his book, and one day maybe I'll give an entire homily showing the allusions and parallels to the Bible and to Christianity found in all his in his trilogy and in The Hobbit. But the one point that he does make in the book has to do with the way bread that is given to the travelers. As you know, there's 9 of them going off on this quest to destroy the ring, to destroy this evil. And so the elves help them, giving them sort of sacramentals to take with them, the cloaks and the other things that they need to travel. But one of the things they give them is special elfin bread called the way bread. And what this does, not only does it nourish them and give them strength, but actually Tolkien says it gives them hope. It strengthens their heart for the journey. See, there's this quest, a perilous quest. And Tolkien is using this sort of as an image of the manna in the desert and how the manna sustained the chosen people for 40 years, but also the Eucharist, how the Eucharist is our food for the journey. Jesus loves us so much, he gives us himself to nourish and to sustain our spiritual life until we get to the promised land of heaven. Because this world is quite a quest. There's a lot of perils, a lot of difficulties, a lot of temptations. We have to fight the good fight, the battle against evil. But we need the nourishment to be able to do this. The Eucharist provides that strength, that nourishment, and the hope we need to persevere until the end, to eventually fulfill our destiny, our quest of getting to heaven. The Lord said in the Old Testament, the people in the Old Testament ate the manna. That just helped their body. But Jesus says, I'm going to give you food for the soul. He says, whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever comes to me will never thirst again. The Father gives you the true bread from heaven. The bread of God comes down from heaven and gives life to the world, and he clearly says, I am the bread of life. If you come to me, you'll never hunger, and believe in him, will never thirst. And that's such a powerful thought to take with us today from the Mass. Jesus is the food for our soul. And oftentimes, I think in this world, we try to fill up our appetite for spiritual things in many ways, and we try to fill that craving we have for happiness. Some people try to find it through sports or music or pleasure or money or fame or whatever it might be. But all those things leave us empty. All the things that we try to fill our life with, the trying to fill that void in our heart, our search for happiness, only in Christ can we have perfect happiness. Jesus says, if we go to him, we will never hunger. If we believe in him, we will never thirst. So I think people in the world try to fill this desire for happiness, this void, in many ways, but there's only one way that truly fulfills a person and satisfies a person, and that is the way of Christ. That is oneness with the Lord, especially in his Eucharistic presence. Isn't that a wonderful gift? We can receive the Lord every single day if we want, every Sunday. What a great thing that is. And Jesus promises us, he is our food. And if we go to him, he will satisfy the deepest longing of our heart, which is for perfect happiness, being with God one day. Jesus is the food for our souls. If we go to him, we will never hunger. If we believe in him, we will never thirst.